Let's start this morning in Iraq. Tens of thousands of people have fled Fallujah as Iraqi forces and the US-led coalition retake that city from Islamic State fighters. The aid groups, or the few that were prepared, have struggled to cope with the estimated 20,000 people who fled the city in just a few hours last weekend. In fact, the Norwegian Refugee Council said this was something like an unprecedented tidal wave, I think was their phrase, of mass displacement. Iraqi forces have closed in on the last neighbourhood of Fallujah that's still held by the Islamic State jihadist group. That's a huge breakthrough over this so-called caliphate that's controlled the city and the lives of its residents for just over two tortuous years. Well, Fabio Forgione is the head of mission for Doctors Without Borders in Iraq. He's based in nearby Baghdad, and I spoke with Fabio earlier.
Hi, good morning.
Now, what's the latest that you can tell us about what's happening on the ground, especially as the Islamic State group, self-styled, comes under pressure in the north of the city? Do we still have people fleeing?
Yes, most probably still a certain number of families are trapped inside the city of Fallujah. Difficult to have a precise estimate of how many people, how many families are still in the city. But considering that still a few neighbors have not been yet retaken by the Iraqi army and by the US-led coalitions, it's very likely that between 1,000 and 3,000 families are still held in the city of Fallujah.
So the kind of fighting, Fabio, I mean, is it literally street by street, house by house?
We do think that this is the case. I mean, Fallujah is a rather small town where already in the past fierce and heavy battles were fought. And the way how also the Islamic State had deployed their own militants, and normally even previous battle in Iraq have been fought, let us think that, indeed, in Fallujah, a street-by-street, basically, battle has been taking place in the last few weeks.
Yeah, when you say, Fabio, the way that ISIL deploys its troops, I mean, this brings back terrible memories of the idea of human shields. Is that what's happening, to the best of your knowledge? Are innocent citizens of Fallujah being used as human shields by ISIS?
It's difficult to say, because since Fallujah has been controlled by ISIS for the last 2 years and longer, we haven't had really direct information of what precisely happened in the city. Mm. But this was, for example, what several families of IDPs told us of people being basically used by ISIS militants and human shields in order to have a defense from the attack, from the offensive carried out by the Iraqi army and the airstrikes of the US-led coalition. So I'm not really in the position to tell you precisely, but this is basically something which our teams on the ground have been routinely told by the families who have managed to flee Fallujah in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, your teams on the ground do very, very brave work. The alternative, of course, to being held as a human shield is to flee. But how dangerous and how exhausting is it to actually flee for these families?
It's extremely difficult and exhausting. Actually, in the last couple of days, improvements have been made because most of the outskirts and also the neighbors of Fallujah have been retaken by the Iraqi army. But till a few days ago, journeys to let the people coming out of Fallujah and reaching the displaced camps where people are hosting were extremely hazardous. So people had to go through sniper fires. Many didn't manage to go through and were reportedly killed in the attempts to flee. And for days, our teams have been told of people fleeing and being basically deprived of water, food. So definitely very dire conditions and that very dire situation before reaching the camps where a certain degree of humanitarian assistance is available.
Yeah, that was my next point. I mean, how grave are the humanitarian needs of the people who've gotten out of Fallujah? I mean, you've spoken there about water and food, etc. But, I mean, is there the prospect of people starving?
Well, definitely the situation is extremely concerning. And first of all, because I think we have to consider that in Iraq, we have more than 3 million of people already displaced. So already an important portion of the humanitarian assistance is already deployed in Iraq, in the different provinces of the country, to try to provide basic assistance, basic relief to people who have already fled, but still basically are hosted in very precarious conditions, poor shelters, difficult access to services, etc. And the battle for Fallujah, with basically between 40 and 50,000 people having fled in a matter of week, 10 days, of course, has put an additional strain on the capacity of the humanitarian organization to properly provide assistance and humanitarian relief. Today, several organizations are working around the clock to try to do our best to ensure that the least basic services are available. But of course, this is extremely difficult because the flow of people is ongoing. The camps where people are hosted have limited capacities. In the last few days, there were a shortage of tents. Potable water is definitely today not enough to satisfy the minimum requirements of the families. And also because we are talking about people who, for a year at least, have not been able to get access to proper healthcare, to proper food, to proper potable water.
Yeah. Fabio, how close have you guys been able to get in, though?
Well, normally we try to work in all the different camps where the IDPs have arrived. And basically, these camps varies from 40 to pretty much 20 kilometers from Fallujah. We strive for gaining access also towards the city itself. But today, the fightings are too heavy. The battle is fully taking place and therefore does not really allow our teams to move any closer to the city than what we do today in the already established camps.
I understand that the main hospital in Fallujah has been taken back from ISIL, and I think it's in the area that's now under the control of the Iraqi government forces. Do you know what state that hospital is in?
Well, we have had serious concerns about the situation of the hospitals in Fallujah since long. There were reports that in some instances the hospital was repeatedly bombed, that of course the medical supply, the medical equipment necessary to treat also life-saving interventions ran out since long time. So of course we don't think that today the hospital in Fallujah will have the capacity to provide the due medical care to the people that are still inside Fallujah.
Yeah.
As already witnessed in other cities which were liberated before, for instance, Ramadi or Tikrit, we do expect a huge level of destructions, including, of course, the medical facilities, which will have to be basically re-equipped and in some instances refurbished by the Iraqi governments in collaboration with humanitarian actors.
Fabio, I don't think anyone, or almost no one, is going to mourn the expulsion of the ISIL forces. I have read, though, accounts of some Iraqi troops basically going house to house in the neighbourhoods that they do now control, trying to ferret out or root out people who were accused of being ISIL fighters. What can you tell us about that?
But what we know is that still for people who are going out of Fallujah, there are very tight security screenings in order to prove or not the potential direct or indirect affiliation of these people to ISIS. So normally men will be separated from women and children in order to make sure that particularly for the men, for young boys, etc., the security screenings happen thoroughly. Then it's very difficult for us to corroborate exactly what happened in Fallujah because simply we are not there. So it's just basically secondhand information that we might be able to carry out. But I'm not today in the position to tell you precisely how the battle is conducted and what basically the attitude that Iraqi troops, etc., have once enter Fallujah, and therefore search are taking place house by house.
Yeah, look, it's entirely, of course, possible that ISIL fighters and partisans would have embedded themselves in the civilian population. But look, just before we go, is the Iraqi government or the United Nations Humanitarian Relief Agency coordinating all the aid agencies? I'm just trying to get an idea of just how effective the aid work is.
Of course, in such big scale of emergency response, as is the case for this response in Fallujah, it's naturally quite difficult to ensure a proper degree of coordination among the number of actors, international and national, the humanitarian organization responding to the crisis. We believe that the UN, as well as the Iraqi governments, are definitely doing their best in order to ensure that there is a proper coordination, that services being provided are not duplicated, that most and foremost needs are covered by the different actors present on the ground. But of course, there are huge challenges in having this happening. Because also the areas where IDPs are moving to is extremely wide. So we have several camps which are very far from one from each other. And therefore, even geographically, the degree of coordination which is necessary, it's quite a complex exercise.
Yeah, well, it's a very big task ahead. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Fabio Forgione is the head of mission in Iraq and Syria for Médecins Sans Frontières. Fabio, thank you for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Thank you very much for having me.